Okay, everybody, workday is over.
This is the best of the OG with Ovius and Giglio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Enjoy the best of today's show. Here's Ovius and Giglio.
I am speechless. Well, maybe speechless, maybe not. Here's where I stand on what happened with Cam Newton today, and why sometimes in this business I feel like I'm the one that's nuts for seeing it a particular way that a lot of others don't seem to be seeing this. Last week, when we found out Cam Newton was going to be held out of Patriots camp because he had a misunderstanding about leaving the team facility for a medical appointment that was not with New England approved medical people, and it gave Mac Jones an opportunity to get more reps because he was the one who was actually there, my thought last week was, man, Cam Newton's really going to screw himself here. Because Bill Belichick, of all the coaches in the NFL, is not going to stand for somebody who is not available. You need to be available. And if you're not going to get vaccinated, you are opening yourself up to that lack of availability in the future. I understand that people like to think that we're kind of done with this pandemic, but we've seen multiple instances dating all the way back to Omaha for NC State, and what we've seen in some situations with NFL camp and what we're going to see this upcoming season, both in the professional ranks and in the college ranks, we're going to have people missing time because of COVID. At the quarterback position, the one that we all agree is the most important one for an NFL team, you don't want to be preparing for a game and then all of a sudden you're not available because you made the choice not to get vaccinated. You made the choice to make things more difficult than they needed to be. So my thought was last week, Cam Newton's going to work his way out of the starting job over a stupid shot. I mean, really, that's where we were. What I was not expecting was for the Patriots to just straight up say, nah, man, if you're not going to get the shot and I can't rely on you, well, then we got to go. We're just going to release you. And here's your $3.5 million reportedly, and we're moving on. And the reason why I feel like I'm like nutso here is because to me this is a really cut and dry issue, Giglio. He didn't get a shot. He's unreliable. So Bill Belichick is going to move on with the quarterback he can count on, rookie or not. Clearly he felt confident enough to draft him with the 15th pick. So he's going to just keep going with that. This has nothing to do with actual performance, and that's the part that I've been kind of weirded out by. People are acting as though Cam was outworked by Mac Jones when there's been no indication to believe that Mac Jones was somehow, some way better than Cam Newton throughout camp. It has everything to do with reliability. Cam can't be relied upon.
Yeah, if Cam Newton had been vaccinated, he would be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots in week one of the NFL season.
Yeah.
Certainly based on what we saw the last time we saw Cam Newton in a preseason game. He looked actually, I mean, he didn't look like 2015 Cam, but he looked like 2017 Cam.
Sure.
He looked like a, you know, top 10 NFL quarterback with a skill set that would lead you to believe Bill Belichick would know how to take advantage of it. But he made a poor choice.
Yeah.
Because in addition to just being like, hey, like, let's be honest here, okay? There are certain people, and Cam's got like the whole vegetarian thing.
Pescatarian.
He's made like life choices.
Yeah.
He is one of these people, elite athletes, like a LeBron James, who spends a lot of money on his own body.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is not like haphazard, the old Kevin McHale. Oh, yeah, we stopped drinking regular beer and switched to light beer in training camp.
You use LeBron James, I'll actually use the former quarterback in New England, Tom Brady.
Right.
Tom Brady has spent a lot of time in an industry around
how he
takes care of his body, even with some quack science.
Yes.
So
there, and then there's Cole Beasley, who's just like an out and out denier, right? I don't know where Cam Newton falls on that scale, We just know that he hasn't been vaccinated, mm-hmm. and it's the reason he's not in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
So, you on its by itself, you could take that and say, well, that's a poor choice. But then when you factor in that he had COVID last year, and it adversely affected his performance,
mm-hmm.
and it leads you to this, like, dude, what else do you need, right? Like, there's a parable that more than just the Catholics tell, but
sure.
It's about, you know, the guy who was waiting to be rescued. I'm waiting. There was a bus came by and tried to pick up the person before the flooding came. And they're like, no, I'm waiting for a sign from God. Well, then a boat came by and tried to pick up the people before the flooding got any higher. No, I'm waiting for a sign from God. Then they go to the roof of the house because the water's gotten so high. And they go, no, I'm waiting for a sign from God. Then they die. And the person goes to heaven. And he walks up to God. What the heck, man? I was waiting for the sign. And what does God say? I sent you the car. I sent you the boat. And I sent you a helicopter. What else do you want?
What do you need, man?
What are you waiting for? Like, Cam, you got a boat. You got a car. You got a helicopter. Get the shot, man.
Here's Adam Schefter after the news broke this afternoon that Cam Newton was being released by the New England Patriots. On whether Mac Jones was actually going to start beating him for the job or there were other things at play here.
Well, first of all, you heard Mac say the Patriots using a first-round pick on Mac Jones, and I would say that the 49ers, when they traded away 3 first-round draft picks, moved up with the idea that they were comfortable taking Mac Jones, but that they would do their due diligence into Trey Lance and Justin Fields and wound up falling further in love with Trey Lance before they took him, leaving Mac Jones to slide all the way to New England at 15 without the Patriots having to give up any additional first-round picks. And from the moment Mac Jones stepped in there this summer, he looked like he was a guy ready to take over. He led 8 preseason drives this summer, 8. Every one resulted in either a field goal or a touchdown. There was not a single drive this preseason that he initiated that they didn't score on. He impressed coaches with their accuracy. Spoke to one head coach last week who told me that he thought that Mac Jones could be and would be a Pro Bowl quarterback in this league for 10 years. And I'll be honest, I fully thought that he was going to wind up as the starting quarterback on opening day. What I didn't expect was that the Patriots today would release Cam Newton. But what that tells you is they are so sure of Mac Jones that they felt like it would be unfair to have Cam on the roster. They've got Brian Hoyer, a capable backup there in reserve. And so rather than put Cam in a position that might be a little bit awkward, they thanked him and said, we are ready to go with the youngster. The new Patriot era begins now.
I don't buy that from Adam Schefter. I don't buy the angle that they were doing Cam Newton a favor by telling him, look, man, we're going to go with Mac Jones and we don't want to put you in a bad spot. And we're going to stick with Brian Hoyer, who's a reliable backup quarterback. Given the choice between Brian Hoyer and Cam Newton, I'm going to take Cam Newton as a backup quarterback. Everything that we've ever seen out of Cam Newton as relates to Mac Jones since he's gotten to New England and even up to this upcoming preseason, Cam has been part of the team. Cam has not been like a me-first type guy in that regard. He has talked up Mac Jones. He has talked up the competition. It doesn't really seem to bother him. And we've seen previous footage, too, when Cam has been hurt.
Yeah.
And things like that, where he's been an active participant with the team.
I think, if I can interpret what Schefter's saying, they may have said to Cam, what would your preference be?
Mm-hmm.
And he may have said to them, you know what? Let me go, and I'll see if I can't find another place that I... Because remember,
okay,
if you remember, when the Panthers cut him, I told you, Cam Newton's at a point in his life where he needs to realize he needs to go to Pittsburgh.
Sure.
He needs to go somewhere that doesn't have a great, I even said New Orleans, like go somewhere where they don't have a great reliable quarterback or an old quarterback who you know is going to get hurt at some point, then show the rest of the league when you get that opportunity. Like I said, there's not going to be people who are willing to give him a starter's job.
No.
The Patriots were in such a desperate position last year that they were willing to give him a starter's job. Would he still be the Patriots' starting quarterback right now if he had made it through last year at the same level we saw in weeks 1, 2, and 3?
Mm-hmm.
He would be. Because he flashed early last year.
I think last year everybody understood that, and Bill Belichick, the head coach, has even said it, that it was a rebuilding year. They sold out for Tom Brady. They paid the bill last year.
Yeah, but he flashed early last year. He did flash early. Like old Cam.
He did flash early, and I think everybody understood it was a weird year because of COVID, and they weren't going to hold that against Cam Newton. To your point, though, about, all right, Cam wants to go try to find another job. Here's the problem. At this point in the game, where is he going to go? We're a week and a half. Actually, we're basically
I actually think this is a good time because now when teams finalize their roster, they might look at, heck, the Steelers might still look at him and say, this would be great insurance for Big Ben. Because I look at Cam Newton as someone who can still play in the NFL.
Sure. But then there's the unvaccinated portion of this.
There is.
If he's not, like, for instance, people like, oh, Ron Rivera in Washington. Ron Rivera has been on record multiple times telling people that aren't vaccinated that they're just being idiots about these types of things. And he's been at a, like, he's at a loss as to why he can't get guys to get vaccinated with the Washington football team. I don't see that playing out for Cam Newton in Washington. If that ends up happening, then I guess what Ron Rivera was saying about unvaccinated status is completely.
But I think Washington's already in a position with the quarterbacks that they have.
I think there's a lot of those. That's the problem.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those situations right now. I mean, maybe Indianapolis, but look at Indianapolis. They're already committed to Carson Wentz, who's already on the COVID list on top of the foot.
Right.
So, like, all right, we already got our unvaccinated quarterback who's unreliable. Why do we want to bring another one on? So you see where he's kind of put himself in a bad spot this late in the game, if this is what he really wanted to do. I want to go somewhere else to be, like, the actual starter. On top of not being vaccinated, which makes you unreliable, and which is why Bill Belichick, who has raved about Cam Newton, raved about him.
He's a hard worker.
Yeah.
He's a guy, like I said, practice matters to Bill Belichick.
Yep. And eventually wants to move on. Here's the other thing, and why it's easy for the Patriots to go ahead and do this versus, say, the Minnesota Vikings, right? Kirk Cousins is not vaccinated, and they're going through all that stuff, too. The reason why they can't move on from Kirk Cousins, you know how much he's owed?
I think it's $45 million.
He's $30 million to cut, right? Like that.
But then there would be a dead cap hit.
Then there's the dead cap and all that stuff, right? Cam Newton got 3.5. There's a difference. It's easier to move on from a guy who's got anywhere between two to three and a half million versus somebody who's owed
30.
Yeah, this
wasn't a financial decision by the Patriots.
It absolutely. Actually, the finances made it easier for them to make the decision.
Well, but they made it easier for them to go to Cam and say, hey, what would your preference be?
Lauren Brownlow, WREL SportsFan.com, is hanging out with us now here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovias. How are you, Brownlow?
Oh, you know, hanging in there.
Do you want to start with the end of the Will Greer era in Carolina or the end of the Cam Newton era in New England?
Sure. Yes, I was actually just browsing through some memes of Twitter reacting to Cam Newton getting interest from the Houston Texans, and they're all very funny, as most memes with Cam are.
Yeah, same with the everybody's making the same play 60 kid joke. If you don't remember, Cam Newton was in an NFL play 60 ad campaign, and the joke ever since Mac Jones was drafted by the New England Patriots, everybody's been making the joke that the play 60 kid actually was Mac Jones, and he's now here to take Cam Newton's job for real. It's a great commercial.
Oh, they did the joke with Kyle Allen. Let's not forget.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I know, right. I won't.
That's
that
right.
That joke happened with Kyle Allen.
And what's funny...
Some people weren't kidding.
Well, you know what? Let's actually start there since you brought that up. It does feel like Cam Newton's career has been one of, we don't believe this guy is good, and we're looking for the next guy to... I mean, this started with Derek Anderson when he was the backup. And then you brought up Kyle Allen. When Will Greer was drafted by the Carolina Panthers, there was a subset of people that were like, we need to see Will Greer. And then when he went to the New England Patriots, you'll remember throughout the pre-COVID season camp, it was Jared Stidham's clearly the guy. I mean, this is somebody that Bill Belichick has been grooming this entire time. Cam Newton ended up starting. And the same thing happens here with Cam Newton and Mac Jones. The minute Mac Jones is drafted 15th overall by the New England Patriots, it's been, oh, it's just a matter of time before Mac Jones takes him over. The spoiler here is, you know who actually took Cam Newton out of the starting job? Cam Newton did. Because he won't get vaccinated.
Yes,
and that's created a scenario where Bill Belichick can't rely on him. So they made the decision really easy for the Patriots.
Yeah, and my guess is that, because let's be honest, Bill Belichick gave Cam a lot of chances.
He did.
And you know, he has always liked Cam. And I've always liked that about Bill too. Like, even just back in the days, I mean, Cam never lost to the Patriots. That's still true, I guess. So, you know, it's like, he's always seen kind of what made Cam special and everything else. And he gave him chances. And I wonder if Bill wasn't like, okay, well, now that you've seen this happen, like, are you going to get vaccinated? And Cam was like, no. And he's like, okay, then that'd be my guess as to why he got cut like a few days later. That'd just be my guess, but who knows? And like you said, he did it to himself. And mm-hmm. there's a lot of things in Cam's career where he was done wrong by organizations or people or whatever, but this isn't one of them. And no. there are some things Cam's done to himself. And this is one of those, sadly.
So the Lauren Brownlow joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. Getting to the Panthers, they moved on from Joey Sly, the kicking guy. Ryan Santoso has stuck with the team, but the Ravens released the backup kicker. What was it? Verity? I believe is the kicker's
ECU,
name.
Jake Verity.
So, you know, maybe this Panthers kicking saga isn't done yet before the start of the season.
Okay. I mean, that's okay. Maybe the best man will win there. That's fine. But I do still love Santoso, and Jake Verity seems nice. He has a local connection, but he's not chunky. So I don't care for him. He's not a big guy.
You want your thick kicker.
I want my thicker. Yeah.
All right. Well, looked okay on Friday night in the preseason game. Although it's funny, the kicking situation has overshadowed any sort of discussion about Sam Darnold, which I guess is good. I don't know about you. I thought that he was fine. They didn't ask much of him on Friday night, and that was probably the point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was fine. And it's funny to me, though, that, like, now that Cam Newton got released, you know, you saw it half jokingly. Oh, well, you know, he might be better than the quarterback the Panthers currently have in the roster. And that could be true. We just don't know that yet. Like,
maybe.
We are all assuming that Darnold will be better than he was in New York because the Panthers aren't a dumpster fire like New York. But I don't know that we can assume that at all. And there's a lot of wait and see when it comes to Sam Darnold for me. Like, so I'm waiting to see, but I'm certainly not going to put a whole lot of stock in what happens in the preseason.
Lauren Brownlow joining us here on the OG. Is it too early to call the opener for the Panthers a must win, Lauren, given that it is against the Jets and given those first three games are eminently winnable for the Panthers?
I mean, if you can't beat, like, if you sign Sam Darnold from the Jets lose their best player in the preseason, and you can't beat the Jets, isn't it at home? It's at home, right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, that's bad, and things are bad, and that's going to set a bad tone for the entire season. So, you know, the NFL is a weird league, right? And you can have a rough start to the year and somehow get it together and go on a winning streak or whatever, or vice versa, but, like, that one feels like a tone setter, right? Like, you don't want to lose that game. You just don't if you're Matt Rhule. Like, there's already questions about, you know, does he know what he's doing? Is he going to grow into his role as a coach, et cetera, et cetera? You don't want to go out there and lose to the Jets. That would just be a very, very bad look.
In fairness, the Jets got rid of Sam Darnold, so the Panthers are trying to win with the Jets' leftovers here. Just pointing out that little finer differentiation there.
Well, they gave up enough, though. So, you know, like, that better make it count. Like, it's, I don't know. I just, it's like that. This is where they cast their lot, right? And you feel like, okay, you got the talented quarterback out of the bad situation. All right, cool. So he should thrive in this situation, in theory, or at least he shouldn't lose to, like, the worst team in football, you know, unless the Jets ended up being good somehow. That would be a surprise. Bizarro way that, like, it would be acceptable to lose.
I wish I was making this up, but the Panthers' third game of the season is a Thursday night game against the Texans. It's on the road. Dear. If it was in Charlotte and it was Cam back in Charlotte with the Texans,
that would have
been glorious. Still could be.
Amazing.
Still could be.
I mean, honestly, I would laugh very hard if they signed Cam now. It would amuse me. I know they won't, but, like, I would enjoy it. I would enjoy all of the drama that would ensue.
I don't know if sports talk would be ready for that sort of thing.
They're not, and it would be great. I'm just here to watch the world burn.
Yeah, fair enough. Lauren Brownlow, WRALsportsFan.com, hanging out with us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, speaking of tone setting, it starts this week for both NC State Thursday night and then Carolina on Friday night. Not that NC State and South Florida is a matchup that people are looking at for setting the tone of a potential college football playoff run like the Tar Heels are on Friday night, but it would be good to see NC State kind of continue on the right path from what you saw last year and get in a nice rhythm ahead of what is their really important game, which is the Mississippi State game the following week.
Yeah, and I mean, we at least get one interesting storyline from that game in that former North Carolina quarterback who transferred to South Florida is going to start for South Florida. Mm-hmm. He hasn't played that much in his college career. It's been really strange, you know, because he redshirted in 2018, he sat out 2019, and then 2020, you know, COVID year, he dealt with some stuff with that. He also got hurt. So he has not played very much at all in like the last three seasons. And now he's going to be the starter. And obviously, like, his last collegiate game that he had played, you know, that he started was against NC State in North Carolina's horrible 2-9 season or whatever their final record was there. I think it was 2-9. So yeah, like it that part makes it at least an interesting subplot, but South Florida was bad last year and should still be bad. So yeah, probably not a lot of drama, although you never know. You don't want there to be drama, obviously, if you're NC State and you want to just go out and take care of business, but they really just need to win it. It doesn't even matter if it's ugly. It's the first game of the year. Just win it, get to the next week, and then you can start worrying about, you know, like cosmetics. But, you know, yeah, they just need to get this one done and win it, because that team should not be good.
Well, given the ways NC State won some of their games last year.
Yeah.
Winning,
yeah.
Just win. I mean, I'm thinking about just the Liberty. I'm thinking about the Liberty game in the grand scheme.
I was going to say,
it was one of the ugliest
yeah.
games I've ever seen. But, hey, you won the game. That's all that matters, right?
I think I had that projected in the 60s, like scoring-wise, and it was the exact opposite. that was fun.
That was a gross game. Lauren Brownlow, WRELSportsFan.com. All right, we'll talk to you Thursday.
All right.
Let's answer some Hey Joe questions. Joe cracked the dawn, All right, boys. First up in Hey Joe, I'm completely surprised this is the first question from Montego on Twitter. Hey Joe, what's next for Cam Newton? Man, that's a good question. If you are of the belief that the reason why Cam Newton is not the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots in week one is because Mac Jones earned it over him, I don't buy this, but if this is what you believe, well then Cam Newton, you feel, is good enough to start somewhere else, right? Like, there's got to be another job somewhere for him to take. I'm of the belief, though, that because he is not vaccinated, teams are going to look at him and go, dude, you're not worth the trouble. Financially, you're not worth the trouble. It's not like you're in a Kirk Cousins situation with Minnesota where they have to put up with Kirk Cousins and his unvaccinated status because he's owed $30 million. Or what's going on in Philadelphia where they actually invested in Carson Wentz. He's on the COVID-19 protocol right now. So there's really no incentive to bring Cam on right now as an unvaccinated player. I just don't see it.
You would think it would be a team that would want to win. Like, Houston has no way of winning.
No.
Right? With the situation that they're in.
And they're not going to trade.
They have Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
Who they're going to start now while the Deshaun Watson thing gets sorted through.
Mm-hmm.
I would call Mike Tomlin at this point. That's what I would have done that the last time, personally, if I was advising Cam Newton. I'm not. But I would make a phone call to Mike Tomlin and just say, I think you're somebody who would relate to Cam.
Yeah,
and could help his career
right
now. And I think we've talked to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports about this, and we'll talk to him next week as the NFL season gets going. But I think at this point, if I'm the Steelers, there's only so many years I can take of August and September stories of, hey, Big Ben lost some weight. Hey, Big Ben's healthy. Hey, breaking news, Pittsburgh. Big Ben is not going to make it through the season.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And if he does, he's going to play like crap in the playoffs like he did last year. So it would behoove you to go out and at least kick the tires on Cam Newton.
You would think. We'll see. Next up.
On the same wavelength, next up from Eric. Hey, Joe, has Cam landed in Charlotte yet?
Does he have like some business dealings he has to attend to in Charlotte that I'm not aware of?
He's really interested in the new ACC offices?
Is that what's going on? Yeah, no. Look, Cam Newton and the Carolina Panthers, that ship sailed, unfortunately.
We're only about business here,
right, it's all
Joe.
Business now. If they're already worried about making sure that Sam Darnold feels confident this upcoming season, then you don't want to throw Cam Newton in the mix. Speaking of the Panthers, they did move on from Will Greer. I guess they gave Will Greer all the opportunities in the preseason to get reps, and they decided to release him.
Huh.
Shocker.
Hey, I actually take that as a sign that Matt Rhule knows what he's doing.
P.J. Walker.
Didn't cut him last year.
Didn't cut him last year.
That's why.
Hey, man, it was COVID. We don't know what the hell is going to go on.
Yeah, fair.
So they kept P.J. Walker as the backup, but the Will Greer experiment is over.
Also, just spitballing here, just to get back to the previous question about where Cam could land.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce Arians does have that Belichickian thought process with him, how he ended up with Brady, right?
Yes.
Would you rather have Cam or Yo Gabba Gabbert as your backup? Like, I know we all think Tom Brady's immortal.
But he's not.
He's not.
This is why I honestly think that the move for Cam Newton is to wait.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to land on a team right now. Next up.
Oh, no, Joe.
Next up from Vin on Twitter. Hey, Joe, thoughts on PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan saying they'll eject fans yelling Brooksy at Bryson DeChambeau?
Yeah, so I guess over the weekend in the most recent golf tournament, Patrick Cantlay beat Bryson DeChambeau in a playoff, or in a, what is it called?
It was a playoff.
It was a
six-hole playoff.
Playoff. Yeah, I'm sitting here like sudden death overtime. No, it was a playoff. And Bryson DeChambeau lost that because he can't putt, and Patrick Cantlay can. I mean, I don't want to oversimplify, but that's kind of what it comes down to. And
he lost it because Patrick Cantlay is an amazing putter.
Sure. But every time that Bryson DeChambeau is out there, he gets heckled with the Brooksy thing, which is tied to Brooks Koepka, and those guys have their obvious beef, and Brooks Koepka has a lot of bros that are by his side. For the record, I like Brooks Koepka simply from the perspective of the dude doesn't care. I only want to show up for the major tournaments. I'm just here for business. I appreciate that about him. But the rest of the bro stuff I could do without. So this has been an ongoing thing throughout the summer as to whether or not there's some sort of line that's crossed with Bryson DeChambeau and the heckling that he receives on tour and the shouts of Brooksy. And I see what the PGA Tour is doing here, but I do think this is a mistake. I do think that the person who is most responsible for the Brooks Koepka taunts that Bryson DeChambeau gets is Bryson DeChambeau, because he clearly gives people what they're looking for when they shout Brooksy at him. There's been multiple instances where he looks at you, tells you to F off. Like, he clearly is gotten by this. And when you show that you can be easily got by trolls, when they're only going to go in more. And I do think that the PGA Tour is erring here because they've made it even more of a thing by saying you can't do it. And if there's one thing that drunk bros at a golf tournament love to do, is to do the things that they've been told not to do. So I do feel like this is going to escalate. I think it's being played wrong here. But I do have a central question to this, and I'm being completely sincere when I ask this question. I've seen two columnists now refer to what's going on with Bryson DeChambeau as bullying. I disagree. Bullying is a very loaded term. And I don't know why in this particular case, heckling a guy has crossed over into bullying. What's the difference between heckling Bryson DeChambeau with Brooksy versus me going to a hockey game and an entire arena saying, goalie, 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 you suck? What's the difference between what's happening with Bryson DeChambeau getting called Brooksy, or if Bryson DeChambeau were a college basketball player and he went to Cameron Indoor Stadium, the things that would be yelled at him in unison at Cameron.
Or worse, Maryland.
Or Maryland, for that matter, right. So this is a sincere question. Why is Bryson DeChambeau being viewed by some in the golf community as a like the victim of bullying when throughout all sports we see like things like this all the time, or worse for that matter, and we accept them?
I think we expect a different decorum in golf.
Do we?
No, we do in the sense that we don't yell or scream while they shoot, right?
Aha.
Like we would at any other sporting event.
But this isn't happening when he shoots. This is happening when he's walking off the green. Like, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Like, the people yelling things in a swing, that is unacceptable. Totally understand that. But when you say...
I actually play better when people talk or scream at me.
But when you say a particular decorum, the reason why I might push back on that is what I just referred to.
Yeah.
Who is your audience at a lot of these golf tournaments?
In theory?
Yes.
Or in practice?
In theory... give me the answer. In theory.
Rich white people?
But in practice, what do we get?
There's more of a frat bro, golf bro element.
So when you talk about how golf is elevated to a particular way, well, you need to tell that to the people who actually show up. This is your audience.
Right.
So one of the things has to give here. Either golf needs to do a better job of bringing other types of fans to these tournaments where these types of things would not happen.
There's much gambling on golf that it kind of overlaps that little subset there.
Yeah, man. You know, and you mentioned the Brooks Koepka thing. Yeah, he's a barstool bro.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of element that a lot of these organizations want to court, like Major League Baseball. Okay, well, when you court these organizations, when you are in bed with a group that is essentially a safe space for dudes to be jerks, well, what did you expect?
Sleep with the pigs, you get mud on you.
Right, right. So I don't feel sorry for the PGA. I don't feel sorry for Bryson DeChambeau, especially in the way that he's acted to these types of things. And when I hear the word bullying, I feel like that should be reserved for things that truly do cross the line. And saying Brooksy in no way, shape, or form, in my opinion, crosses a line.
I agree.
Okay, I just want... because, again, I know with golf, sometimes things are a little bit different. I wanted to make sure that I'm not... and that's why I asked in sincere form, what's the difference?
This reminds me... and you could probably even modernize this example for me. When I was a kid, I loved the Batman show, the original one with Adam West.
With Adam West, yeah.
And the theme song was basically, na 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 Batman. My sister Jessica would say, na 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 Fat Man. And I would lose my mind. I was like 6, 7 years old.
Sure.
And my parents had to explain to me, you understand the only reason she does it is because it annoys you.
Yes.
And if you do not demonstrate and show to her that it annoys you, she won't do it anymore.
So what you're talking about is my relationship with my father.
Okay.
Yes. My dad will do things specifically to get my goat, as the kids would say.
Because he knows this.
Because he knows this.
But you are now at 42.
Oh, I learned this when I was younger.
Even younger.
These are conversations I've had with my brother. Because I go, hey, dude, you know all you're doing is adding fuel to the fire, right?
Right. So my answer here would be to Bryson, which he doesn't seem to show the aptitude to handle, is you just have to plow through it. Because to your point, if you think about it, like, they're yelling Brooksy, so what?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
Like what how is that in any way, shape, or form mean?
It's like, what does like, Ross do? Like, umagi, or what is it?
Unagi.
Unagi.
Yeah.
Unagi.
It's like, oh, are you, you're saying the name of the guy that I have a particular beef with.
Yeah.
Oh, how is that?
Okay.
How is that bullying?
Awesome.
I don't quite understand it.
Yeah.
Next up.
Next up from Steve on Twitter, this is an interesting one. Hey, Joe, what are your thoughts on a particular coach complaining about fans leaving at halftime that takes recruits to basketball games and leaves at halftime and then blocks someone who points that out to him on Twitter? I think he's asking for
a friend. Is this about Dave Doran, the NC State head coach, who doesn't want people? Look. Y'all know my feelings on this as it relates to pass outs at NC State, and it's like a broken record, and why we do this every year, I have no idea. Until NC State gets its concessions situation figured out with a major overhaul of Carter-Finley Stadium, and they've tried. I'm not saying they haven't tried. There have been changes. They've added beer and things like that, but as long as it's easier for you to go back to your car to get the cheap beer you already purchased and back to the stadium faster than it would be to run through the old Tuffy line at Carter-Finley Stadium, well, then passouts are going to continue to exist.
Should they get one of those, like, Golden Corral beer fountains? Like a trough of beer?
The other option is to finally get Dave Doran, allow Dave Doran to shotgun old Tuffies at halftime to get people to stick around. That's the only other option.
No one would leave.
I'm there. I'll buy tickets for that.
Well, now it isn't now it's four quarters. He's getting a little greedy now.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I get the whole comeback, but
I want all four like quarters
if
now.
If they're pounding South Florida on Thursday night,
people are going back to their tailgate, man.
And I don't even have an in-person post-game press conference. You best believe I'll be in Garner for the post-game press conference.
Like next up.
Next up from Daniel on Twitter. Hey, Joe, who is the older old man? Jillio, parentheses, he's on a roll of late,
yeah,
or been. Gold, Adam Gold.
Wait, was this a legitimate question?
This is a legit question.
Shit.
Yeah. Who is it from?
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel.
Okay. Yeah, Daniel on Twitter. And he used the Dana Carvey, you know,
and I liked it.
The SNL skit, right, as a gif. Well, here's the thing, Daniel. I would actually say neither one. The correct answer is Adam Gold show producer Alec Campbell.
Yeah. He's got it.
He's younger than both of you. He's younger than me. And yet, he is the oldest guy there of the group.
Oh, yeah.
And the best part about Alec is he owns it.
Oh, yeah.
He absolutely owns it. We got time for one more?
Sure. Let's do one more. Last up from Dan on Twitter. Hey, Joe, with NC State Pinstripes being back, are we bringing back Sidney as a basketball advisor?
Wait, are there pinstripes on the state football uniform?
I don't know. I didn't see pinstripes.
Well, they have a new lighted red black uniform. I don't think it was a pinstripe. I think it was the material, basically.
Let me see.
It looked more like the stretch material. It's black. The lettering is red with the bricks.
I think it looks cool.
Oh, okay. It's like
and it has the slobbering wolf on the
so it appears like pinstripes because it's almost more of like a herringbone.
Yeah, it's not a pinstripe.
But it's not a pinstripe.
No, I think that's one of those stretchy Adidas deals. I don't think that's.
I mean, I don't hate it. I like the visor that has the wolf pack on
it. I have no problems with their alternate uniforms.
Yeah,
I do have the Jillio law of uniforms, and that is when I watch you on TV
with a bone-in chicken.
With a bone, well, that would be at the game, Joe. That would be tailgate.
You have your rules.
When I watch you on TV, and not just me, but as the Joe fan, I need to be able to recognize you within 3 seconds of turning the game on. So, for example, when I watched the Belk Bowl when they played Mississippi State, I turned it on, or I was there, but I would have turned it on TV and gone, "How did New Mexico State make the Belk Bowl? I'm very confused right now."
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that was a good thing. So maybe when you play a team that you're going to get destroyed by, put one of these mystery uniforms on so nobody knows who you are.
Sure.
But if you're about to take South Florida to the woodshed, I don't know. Put the red jersey on with the white pants and let's move it along.
They're not for you.
No, I understand that.
They're not for me.
I'm okay with them in the opener and the Carolina game. Or if the opener was against Furman, against a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
My point is this is your showcase on national TV. Now.
Which is why I think they want to wear these uniforms.
And that is. Because actually, and here is the very specific point.
Mm-hmm.
Dave Doran likes to wear the showcase uniforms at night in the Carter-Finley games.
Yes.
So, as we've discussed, the signature win of his tenure was, but here's the corollary to the Jillio rule of uniforms. You're allowed to do whatever you want against Louisville because it's two red and white Adidas schools. And if one of them doesn't wear black, oh my God, you don't know who the heck's
I have no idea.
Just throw a coin.
So Cam Newton was cut by the Carolina Panthers, by the New England Patriots earlier today. Everybody was making the jokes after the fact. Bishop Sycamore, right? Now, if you're wondering, wait, what's the Bishop Sycamore reference? ESPN broadcast a high school football game over the weekend that featured IMG Academy, which is the big money version of a fake school that's only focused on football, versus an actual fake school for football. It's like one big catfishing scheme, and so many people were caught up in it. Andy Staples, The Athletic, wrote a very good, I guess, like Cliff Notes version of how the hell this all happened over the weekend. Andy, how are you?
Good. Probably better than the folks at Bishop Sycamore, although I saw somebody reported that the coach got fired on Sunday night, which is pretty interesting since he was still the coach when he talked to my partner, Ari Wasserman, yesterday.
Well, also interesting, too, is
it's a fake school. How can you be only one guy?
How can you be fired from a fake school?
It's two guys. And so the director fired the coach, which, translation, I'm going to try to dupe some people into believing I got rid of this guy so that we don't lose our entire schedule that we've scheduled.
It is maybe on purpose ironic that Bishop Sycamore, the initials are BS, because that's how they ended up in the situation.
Oh, trust me, it was not on purpose or ironic. I guarantee they didn't even think about that even once. Nobody went, huh? You know, people might see this and notice that.
Well, you know the good Bishop Sycamore.
Of course.
It's biblical.
I remember Bishop Sycamore from all my Catholic school days. All right, so Andy Staples of The Athletic joining us here on the OG alongside Joe Giglio. I'm Joe Ovius. All right, if there's a quick way to kind of explain this for people who might not be caught up in the story because it's been over the internet, what the hell happened on Sunday where IMG Academy plays a football game against somebody, a team that is like the worst version of IMG Academy, something that's not really about school, it's about playing football, but this is not even to that level. So how did we end up here on Sunday?
Okay, so we got to start with what IMG Academy is. It's a school in Bradenton, Florida, originally founded by Nick Bollettieri as a golf and tennis academy to help train pro golf and tennis players. They have expanded over the years into multiple sports where they have baseball, they have soccer, they added football a while back, and now they have the most stocked football team in the country. They've got multiple D1 prospects at every position. And so you don't play this team unless you're really, really good. Otherwise, somebody might get hurt. And so these guys decided they're going to make a school. And they've done this before. This is their second fake school, by the way. And they played IMG last year when IMG was desperate for games. And so they decided to play another game. The difference is this game got on television. There's a group called Paragon Marketing Group that has been packaging all these high school games for ESPN for years, and they usually put together really good games. And so nobody bothered from ESPN to even check, because the games they've gotten from this company have been good. And so nobody checked, hey, do they actually have any D1 prospects on this team? Well, it turns out they don't. In fact, most of their players aren't even in high school anymore. They finished and they didn't qualify for anything, and so they're just playing kind of like a post-grad deal. And it was bizarre and hard to watch, because these kids had no business playing with the IMG guys. And then you find out that they played a game on Friday night in Pittsburgh and then took those same players and threw them out against IMG. So, like, these guys are lucky they didn't get anybody killed.
Andy Staples from The Athletic joining us here on the OG. That's Joe Ovius. I'm Joe Giglio. Andy, how much of this is on IMG? Like, I've seen a lot of people blame ESPN, but, like, shouldn't the school who puts together the schedule, a.k.a. the most prestigious high school football program in the country, like, I kind of want to blame them for this more so than anybody else.
No, I want to blame all of them equally.
Fair. That's fair. Fair
IMG has a lot of blame in this, because so
IMG could pick whoever they want to play, is what I'm getting at. They don't need to play these jabronis.
Actually, they can't.
They can't, because not everybody will play them.
Yeah.
A lot of schools won't play them because a lot of the elite schools in the country won't play them because IMG tends to try to pick off players from their roster.
Oh, once they come visit the campus or see the facility.
Yeah. So they refuse to play them. But what happened in 2018 was the original iteration of Bishop Sycamore, which was called Christians of Faith Academy. They weren't just Christians. They didn't just have faith. They were Christians of faith.
Of course.
They scheduled a game against IMG, and I know this from talking to people who were involved in this. They scheduled a game against IMG, and the IMG people are like, okay, this is a little weird. But then they call and they say, well, you remember how we scheduled that game for our home field in Columbus, Ohio? Well, we can't get a stadium, so we're going to need to come to Bradenton. And the IMG people go, okay, we'll do the game in Bradenton. A few months later, they call back. And these are the same guys that do Bishop Sycamore. We're going to need you to front us the travel money. And that's where the people at IMG at the time go, no, we're not doing that. That's stupid. This is a scam. Well, flash forward 2 years, most of the people at IMG are different. And IMG's schedule falls apart because of the pandemic. And they need a game. So they play this school. They knew exactly who these guys were. And so when the opportunity to play them again this year came up, they had no excuse because they had played them, seen they were a scam, and they decided to play them again.
And didn't tell ESPN. Yeah.
And then you got people. Then you got then you got Tom Luginbuehl, who is their recruiting guy, on a broadcast, realizing, I don't know any of these people, and things got really awkward from there. Andy Staples, The Athletic, joining us here on the OG, wrote a story on the whole Bishop Sycamore fiasco from this weekend that has kind of become an internet thing, and there's a lot of egg on people's faces. All right, for clarification purposes, there might be a lot of people in our audience, and I'm kind of included in this, where I thought the whole diploma mill thing went away. I mean, around here, what was it, Upper Room? The Upper Room eventually got shut down. I was under the understanding that these types of entities no longer exist because the NCAA did their best to kind of squash it, but Gilio's shaking his head like...
That's like saying we put one drug dealer out of business. Right. I thought they were all gone.
So how do these places continue to exist in this environment, especially since we have the internet at our disposal and we can kind of figure these things out? Real quick, because you're breaking up here too, so hopefully you'll get through whatever zone you're in. Basically, the question is, how do these entities continue to exist after we're about 10 years removed from the NCAA trying to shut these things down?
Well, you're assuming the players are going to go play in college. None of these guys are going to play in college because they can't qualify and they probably aren't good enough. So what would the NCAA have to do with it?
Yeah.
You have to actually be recruited by schools for anybody in the NCAA to care if your school is real.
Andy Staples, The Athletic. Hey, man, appreciate the time. Great work on this story. It's absolutely fascinating. I highly recommend everybody go read it to have a better understanding of what the hell's going on here. And I don't know. Can't wait to see who the next Bishop Sycamore is. We'll talk to you later.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah.
It's time for Rant 2.
Acapella the news.
Unfortunately, I did not do a Naughty by Nature song today. However, I did rap-ish. Cam Newton, no longer a Patriot, pretty much because he was not vaccinated. So technically, Gilio, you would say he's throwing away his shot.
Oh, no.
I am throwing away my shots. I am throwing away my shots. Hey, you know, I'm just like Cole Beasley. I'm unvaxxed, though it's easy. I am throwing away my shot. I'm gonna be on a new team still. I probably shouldn't say, but damn, I'm gonna miss Bill. The problem is he's got Mac now ready to go. And I was out for a bit, had to sit. That was it. Although, I'm a former MVP. Back in NC, wish I was there. Could be playing with CMC. Only 32, but my body's older. Was my foot such, needed a holder? My shoulder, man, my health is all good. You think someone would take a flyer? I'm for hire, you know that they should. Don't wanna sit since I have always stood. Let me spell this out like Lin-Manuel would. I am the C-A-M-N-E-W-T-O-N. I win generally. A QB that runs independently. I might not dive on the ball if Vaughn's close to me. Essentially, I can still start potentially. But I don't want to gravel now on bended knee. Still got stuff in the tank that you gotta see. But I don't want to hear that mess from the CDC. Basically, I hope that someone agrees. I got a few years left, maybe two or three. Yo, what about this agency is free? Eventually, you'll miss my attendancy. And I am throwing away my... shot. I am throwing away my shot. Hey, yo, I'm just like Cole Beasley. I'm unvaxxed, though it's easy.
Excellent.
Yeah.
An A grade.
Thank you.
But you can't have an A plus because you did not work in I'm on that pinnacle.
Okay.
When you put a person up on a pinnacle and they're analyzing you from all different areas.
I did throw a Von Miller
That was good.
Thing in there.
That was
so.
You've been listening to the Best of the OG with Ovius and Gilio podcast, part of the Capital Broadcasting Podcast Network. Brought to you by Capital Financial Advisory Group. Get your total retirement income plan by texting JOE to 21000. Don't forget, this podcast drops every weekday at 6 p.m., and you can find it at WRALSportsFan.com, the WRAL Sports Fan app, or you can subscribe for free at the iTunes and Google Play stores.